You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Building Confidence. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
10 years ago, police in Brooklyn, New York, were faced with a terrible and bloody scene. Three boys had sneaked into the local zoo after hours. They took off their clothes and then they went for a swim in the pond where the bears were kept. Almost immediately, two 900-pound polar bears became upset, and then they became angry. They attacked the boys. One 11-year-old boy cried out, "Go get help. They are biting me hard." By the time the police came, they found the animals eating the 11-year-old boy's body. The Bible teaches that what bears and other wild animals can do to us physically, the devil is doing to many people today, spiritually and eternally. In the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 5, we read, "Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." The 11-year-old boy who was eaten by the bear had violated the rules of the zoo. And had these young men not climbed over the fence in order to swim inside the bear's area, they would not have been attacked. The fence was their protection. This fence served as a type of safety device to protect the boys from harm. This, however, is never the case with the devil. The devil cannot be stopped with a fence. In fact, you cannot stop the devil with any human device. If you and I are going to protect ourselves from the devil, we need to listen to and respond to the words that Jesus gave his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Pray," Jesus said, "pray that you may not enter into temptation." Now, of course, there are those today who claim that the devil does not exist. One clergyman, for example, writing a column in the Seattle Times newspaper, told of a meeting he had had with some friends. And during this meeting, they discussed the forces of evil today. Then the clergyman confessed that during his student days at the seminary, he believed that there was a devil. "Now," he says, "since I have become better educated, my ideas have changed. I no longer believe that the devil exists." One of his friends challenged this apostate clergyman. "What about the story in the Bible," he asked, "where Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness?" "This did not really happen," the unbelieving preacher explained. "No devil was present. Jesus was only having an inner struggle with himself." Now, you and I may be tempted to agree with this unbelieving preacher that Satan, the prince of darkness, does not exist. For Jesus and his disciples, however, things were different. They were very different. You see, they lived in the real world. They knew otherwise. From first-hand experience, Jesus and his followers knew not only that the devil exists, but that he is constantly trying to tempt, to cause people to stumble, and even to destroy us forever. In 1997, Satan's temptation tactics have not terminated. He is just as busy, if not busier today, than he was 2,000 years ago. And if you are not convinced by the clear Bible teaching that the devil exists, and that in 1997 he is active, tempting, dividing, and destroying, then use simple common sense. For example, if the devil does not exist, then why is it that an incredible 50% of all marriages that began at God's altar end up destroyed in the devil's garbage dump? Look around you. Why is it that the man in the street goes to the voting booth hoping to elect honest leaders only to find out shortly thereafter that those for whom he has voted are involved in kickbacks, sleazy money, deception, and all kinds of graft? The devil is real, and his existence is repeatedly verified in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The real question that you and I face today is this: since the devil does exist, how do you and I protect ourselves from this evil one? Here again, the Bible is very, very clear, and it does give us an answer. And it is especially appropriate during this Lenten season that we look at what Jesus did and how he related to the power of the devil as he made his way to the crucifixion cross. The days were difficult and the hours were long as Jesus prepared to sacrifice his innocent body on the altar of the cross in order to pay the full penalty for all of your sins and all of mine. In his hours of preparation, in those final hours, Jesus took his closest disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. In those final hours, Jesus asked those whom he loved to watch and to pray with him. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that when they arrived at the garden, Jesus said to his disciples, "Pray, pray that you may not enter into temptation." Then the Bible explains, Jesus withdrew from his disciples about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he began to pray. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." According to the Bible, an angel from heaven then appeared to Jesus to strengthen him. And being in agony, Jesus was praying very fervently. Sweat became like drops of blood and fell from Jesus to the ground. Then Jesus rose from prayer. But when he returned to the disciples, Jesus found them sleeping. Jesus said to them, "Why are you sleeping?" Then he said a second time, "Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Now, as you and I read this Bible story, most of us are surely surprised to learn that instead of heeding the words of our blessed Lord to watch and to pray, the disciples of Jesus fell asleep. Imagine this, only a few hours away from the greatest event of history, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and these closest followers of Jesus fell asleep. Just when Jesus needed his friends the most, they failed him. Oh, this was a terrible failure on their part. However, rather than being surprised at what happened, and even critical of the disciples, you and I need to look into the mirror. We need to notice that more often than not, you and I find ourselves doing the very same thing. Oh, surely, maybe we don't fall asleep, but in times of trial and in days of difficulty, we certainly permit the devil to divert our attention. And instead of watching and praying as Jesus asks us to do, and seeking God's help, we often become complacent, and we permit the devil to take advantage of us and even to harm us. Now, we must ask the question, why is this happening? Well, perhaps because what comedians have made comical, much of our society has adapted and adopted. In the late 1960s, one popular comedian used this line. He said, "The devil made me do it." Now, even though this short line was meant for humor, many have adopted it today as an explanation for their spiritual life of indifference and for their failure to watch and to pray. The Bible, however, does not recognize this excuse that the devil made me do it. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, God speaks to Cain, and this is what he says. "Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." From the beginning of time, God has made his will clear. You and I are to actively resist the devil. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read, "Do not give the devil an opportunity." In Ephesians chapter 6, we read, "Stand firm against the schemes of the devil." In James chapter 4, we read, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read, "Resist him." And in our text for today, Jesus is telling you to watch and to pray. You and I are to watch. We are to be on guard. We are to resist the devil with all our spiritual strength in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are also to pray. And when we pray, our thoughts and our eyes of faith focus directly on God. This causes our fears of the devil to be relieved. And then as God enables us to pray, he also strengthens us for the struggle. Our confidence is climaxed as we concentrate on the crucifixion cross. Yes, my friend, behold the day that Jesus died. This was the moment of the ultimate struggle between good and evil. This was also the hour of victory, of good over evil, of Jesus' victory over the devil. And this is also why the hymn writer wrote, "The strife is over and the victory is won." We are now in the midst of the Lenten season. This is also the time of the year when we focus on the preparation that Christ made as he approached the crucifixion cross. And this is also the time when we remember that Jesus was preparing for the crucial and final battle with the devil. These are the days when you need to hear the loving words of Jesus again and again. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray so that the devil will not overcome you. In a few weeks, in Christian churches all over the world, Bible readings and sermons will be focusing on the sufferings of Christ and the death of Christ. Each of these situations will look forward to the statement of victory, however, that Jesus cried out from the cross when he said, "It is finished." And at that moment, at that precise time in history, Jesus announced publicly that he had forever conquered and crushed sin, death, and the devil and hell itself. This victory of Christ on the cross is the good news for you today, my friend. Without a doubt, many of you listening have probably experienced temptations in your own life. And you know how cleverly and how deceptively the devil has tripped you up in the past. And you also recognize that even though it was the devil who tempted you, you are still responsible. This means, then, that before God you stand as a condemned sinner. And without the grace of God in Jesus Christ, there is no hope for you. But praise God for his good news, penned by the Apostle John, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With this confidence in the grace of God and with this assurance that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all your sin, say with the psalmist, "I acknowledge my sin to thee, O Lord, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin." How then live also every day with the confidence of the writer of the Proverbs who states, "He who confesses and forsakes his sins, he will find compassion." Indeed, as individuals and as Christians, united all over the world in the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us rejoice with great joy that God gave Jesus for us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. In these days of this Lenten season, it is indeed a time for all of us to listen to Jesus when he says, "Watch and pray." You see, the devil is real, and he is going to do everything possible to cause you to stumble, to fail, and he also intends to destroy you forever. God, however, has not left you alone. You are not helpless. Through prayer and through reading and studying of the Word of God, you will be led to and attached to the living and the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are attached to Jesus, you are then attached also to his victorious resurrection. This is the power that God is promising you today. And this is also the power that will enable you to overcome any and all temptations of the devil. Lent is certainly a time for evaluation. Lent is a time for repentance. Lent is a time to refocus our eyes on the cross of Christ. And Lent is also a time for us to face the facts. You see, it was your sins and it was my sins that placed Jesus Christ on the bloody cross. Lent is also a time to rejoice that Jesus not only went to the cross, but that he triumphed over the devil on the cross. Christ's victory cry, "It is finished," is also our victory cry. You and I no longer have to defeat the devil. Our struggle against him is assured in Christ's victory. And so then, during these coming weeks and during the rest of the year, live a life of repentance and a life filled with confidence and a life overflowing with joy. Indeed, the devil is like a lion prowling around seeking somebody to devour. But thanks be to God, you need never again feel that the devil will devour you. Greater is he, greater is Jesus, the Bible says, who is in you by faith than the devil who is in the world. Jesus said, "Watch and pray, watch and pray. Watch and pray." Know for sure, my friend, that the devil is a formidable force. Don't dismiss him. And whatever you do, don't try to deny his existence, as some foolish people try to do today. Rather, take the devil seriously, and most important, take him on. Resist him. In Christ, actively fight against all temptation, and then with all the confidence and courage that God guarantees you through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, launch forth in faith and life, and do it with all the joy that God guarantees you. And so then now, as you observe the Lenten season, begin to sing the great Easter hymn of triumph, so that when the glorious day of Easter arrives soon, you will be able to sing it from memory and to do it with great conviction and gusto. sing and say, "Go to dark Gethsemane, ye that feel the tempter's power, your Redeemer's conflict see, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away, learn of Jesus Christ to pray. O Lord, we pray, grant unto all who are listening today the faith and the power to watch and to pray. Amen."
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.